WildTalkRadio.com.
The following program is not intended for children. It contains mild language, violence, sexual innuendo, wink, wink, brief nudity, and deals with mature themes that some may find offensive. Parental discretion is advised.
This is Wildcat Chris Perry.
Hey everybody, it's Ted DiBiase, the Million Dollar Man.
I am Sid Vicious.
Wild Talk Radio Network presents to you the evolution of online pro wrestling sports entertainment.
This is WTR Sunday Night.
Wrestle Talk Radio.
The greatest wrestling talk show of all time.
You fucking funny asshole.
Bringing to you everything in the world of professional wrestling.
If you haven't noticed, and judging by the attendance, you haven't.
With your hosts, Tim Stein.
This guy threw at his own kid in a father-son game.
The Omega.
Better teach this kid some control before he kills somebody.
Heartbreak Mike.
Look at this fucking guy.
And the producer, Sir Rockin.
I'm gonna stick it up fucking ass.
All right, knock that shit off.
This is the phenomenal one, AJ Styles.
It's me, it's that D-O-double.
This is former WWE superstar and ECW general manager. Alejandro Estrada.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network and on the free TuneIn app on your mobile device. WTR Sunday Night.
You can't say goddamn on the air.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of WTR Sunday Night, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We are here to recap, and can you hear the air quotes, Super Showdown. We're just going to warn you right now, there's unpleasant opinions ahead. So everyone's hearing the music.
Unpleasant is not the word. Unpleasant is not the word. We're trying to just listen to the music and just call it a day.
I like the song, but it's kind of blaring in my ears.
Legends Rise. Well, not this week.
Well, they did. They shouldn't have.
Should have.
So, no, I know it's gonna suck, but it's best to just rip the Band-Aid and get it over with.
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's go ahead. So this is the Omega, the be-all, end-all of the network. Joining us tonight, we have Heartbreak Mike.
What's up, guys? Heartbreak Mike here. Guys, yeah, I'm trying to be as cooperative as I can, but the drink for the night is Patron. And
Alberto
yeah,
El Patron?
Yeah, no. And you know, after all that, hey Tim, I did a thing.
You did a thing.
I did.
I'll
a
wait
thing.
Till I'm introduced.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, guys.
So, well, now we have to hear about the thing. So I will introduce the one and only Tim Stein.
Wow, that's it. Holy cow, we've been gone for three goddamn weeks. Yeah, guys, here's Tim Stein. Yeah, like, whatever.
Well, what do you expect?
As the teenage girls say, whatever.
Did you see the show we had to watch this week?
Kind of.
Pain. I feel like Bill Goldberg's head right now.
Oh, I feel like the ring post that he ran his head into. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to another edition of WTR Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Yeah, we're going to recap Stupid Showdown. I've been waiting all day to say that. Oh, hell yeah.
I'm sorry. Right. It's Botchmania.
There you go. So let's do a thing.
Yes, let's do a thing.
What's the thing you did, Michael?
So apparently, as a lot of you may or may not know, I'm a worker in the ring, and it's been a while since I've wrestled. A couple of weeks ago, my wrestling manager, passed away, and I said, you know what? Let me go ahead and wrestle. And so yesterday, did a thing and, turned out great. Better than Super Showdown, but hey, you know, what do I know? I'm in pain, but it's cool. So you know what? It's worth it. But yes, I did a thing and it was great.
Hot bath followed by ice cubes. You feel 100% better. So that's the thing that you did. Welcome back to the ring. Yes. I did a thing.
What's the thing?
Two weeks ago, I broke my foot.
You were watching AEW, weren't you?
No, I was yelling at my boss, threatening to break his neck. I kicked the desk and broke my foot. How many people do you know can threaten to break your boss's neck and still have a job?
You're right.
Not to say that I'm intimidating or anything, but I do have a bit of a temper when I get pushed too far, too hard, too fast.
Well, you proved how serious you are about breaking his neck by breaking your foot.
It was an example. I said, you see, I just broke my foot. You see that? That could have been your head. Long story. We don't want to get into it.
There we go. Anyway, he went to work with a broken freaking toe.
There you go. I'm working this show with a broken freaking toe.
Yes. Speaking of self-injury, we need to get to this show.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. We weren't on last week because I switched internet providers.
And that clearly worked out very well.
It has worked out extremely well. I've got internet now. Didn't have it on Sunday. Supposed to have it on Friday, but it got delayed.
Yeah, well, that'll happen.
Totally worth it.
You know what they say, shit happens. So does stupid showdown. Should we talk about this thing?
We don't have a choice.
Kind of have
to. Hey, Omega! Spider-Man Far From Home's coming out next month.
Guy looks cool. I'm waiting for the big twist of it though.
There you go. Well, here's the twist. We got to get through tonight's show first.
It's not a good twist, Shyamalan.
There you go. M. Night Shyamalan has only had one good twist. Anyway, I've seen most of, Super Showdown. I'm actually watching the main event right now as we, speak. Goldberg just got, I don't want to spoil it for anybody, but,
yeah, don't want anyone to be, don't want to ruin that for anybody.
I'm assuming those who are listening have probably watched it, but if you haven't watched it, you're probably really not missing a shitload. It's not like it's WrestleMania. I didn't see the kickoff. I don't know what happened, with the kickoff. Did anything happen during the kickoff?
I mean, besides promoting all the other matches and what have you, and then the Revival versus the Usos, that happened. Which was a really, surprisingly, it was a real, well, I can't say surprisingly because those four are our best really good tag teams. But yeah.
Tell me what happened. Talk about it.
It was wrestling.
Pretend
it was
I
awesome.
Didn't see it.
Oh, well, it was wrestling. It was good match. Double super kicks. That's all I can say. It was a double super kick.
Super kick.
Yeah. They told a story to literally say, hey, we're the best tag team. No, we're the best tag team. And they proved it. And with the super kick and the splash, 1, 2, 3, the Usos did it.
Well, there you go. So promo, upcoming show, promo, tag team match, promo.
Yeah.
There, we have basically summed up what happened in the pre-show.
There you go.
Okay. And then of course, the main show kicked off. Now it is important for us North American fans and some of the European and a couple of the Australian fans to understand this show was geared towards entertaining the Saudi crowd that was at the stadium live to see it. It wasn't geared to entertain us.
It certainly wasn't.
And if you've watched the match, if you watched the show, then, you can, agree with me and Omega and probably Mike.
I'm not sure it succeeded in its first point either because most of the crowd had no idea who these people were.
Yeah. Well, you know, here it is. You got The Undertaker and Goldberg in the main event. They know who those guys are. You had Triple H taking on Randy Orton. That, you know, they knew who those guys were.
Yeah, but beyond that, before that, the biggest pop of the night was Titus O'Neil walking to the ring.
Which should tell you something. But, that being said, you know, we're not saying Saudi fans are any dumber than fans anywhere else in the world. So if you're in Saudi Arabia and you're listening, first off, salam alaikum. Secondly, we're not taking shots at you guys at all, and far from it. We would never do that to anybody listening to us, unless you're, call yourself Team Chat. Yeah, or the intern. Then we'll take shots.
We'll take shots relentlessly for that.
There you go. Now, I did not watch, what I saw. I was Super Showdown as somebody who's written shows or has booked shows or has promoted shows, of which I have done all. I tried watching it just as a casual fan. And the one thing overall, before we actually start talking about the matches there, the one thing overall, the sense that I got was that it was a bigger deal than the TV shows, SmackDown and Raw, but it was below standard pay-per-view. So it was like somewhere in between. That's the feeling I got. There was some good stuff that happened in the show and then a whole bunch of bad. And of course, we've said it ad infinitum. If your main event is not off the hook, that's the last thing people will hold on to. It could be a fantastic, and we've had it happen. We've had it with WrestleManias. We've had it with SummerSlams. This has happened with Money in the Bank, with Royal Rumbles. You could have a fantastic show, or at least above average show, but your main event can bring everything down if something doesn't go right. Well, guess what? Shit didn't go right.
There's been
a whole bunch of shit going over the internet since Friday about this, Omega.
Yeah, like a lot of us focus on the main event, but just in general, this show has not been well received in the least. You know, I kind of got somewhere, on the other side of that seesaw from you, where this felt like a show that was booked to be a big deal, but it felt like stuff I could have seen any old Monday night.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, nothing on this card really stood out. You know, your main matches were there for no particular reason. You know, like Triple H and Randy Orton had one build up promo for their match, and it was literally, we don't have any reason to fight, do we? No, we're just doing it. It's literally
for the paycheck.
Yeah, they literally could have just said, yeah, we're just going to go take the Saudis' money. Like, that's literally all they should have said, because that's how blatant it was. And then Goldberg and Undertaker, like, aside from, God, why would you book that match now? Like, that was literally just, there's really no reason for these two to fight whatsoever. Like, neither one really has much to prove. And
well, hey, the first 2 minutes of that match were really good.
I mean, it went the way I thought they would.
So,
I mean, it's 2 minutes. It was exactly what I expected. And then, you know, everything.
Yeah. Well, let's just kick it off at the from the very top. They opened up the main show with Baron Corbin challenging Seth Rollins for the WWE title, Universal title.
It's at this point I will remind you that this show is booked as equivalent to WrestleMania. Baron Corbin goes after the Universal title.
Okay, well, at this point in time. Here's the thing. The match itself wasn't bad. The two guys, they did fine. It was a fine match. The problem is, the apathy built up towards Baron Corbin. Nobody cares. I mean, right now, what are you going to do to save Baron Corbin? We were talking about that with Roman before he, had to leave for a few months, for leukemia treatments. Or, was it leukemia? Yeah, it was. Yeah. And we're like, well, you know, they should turn him heel. I think somebody off the cuff said something smart ass. They should hold him out for a few months and claim that he's sick, and then he gets leukemia. So let's never say that again. But he comes back and everybody's behind him. Yeah, sure. Everybody's behind him because he for the second time beat this form of cancer. But the thing about it, and I don't want this to come across the wrong way. I'm so hesitant to say it, but I've got to. The fact that he wasn't on our television sets for 2 months being shoved down our throats as the top dog did him good. His character anyway. And I'm thinking, how can they get people to care about Corbin? Maybe they should do something really, really strange and turn him babyface, Mike.
It's not going to happen. I'm sorry. He's too deep in the hole. I mean, if that was the case, Baron Corbin would have to regrow his hair back.
Which would be kind of difficult because he was losing most of it before he shaved his scalp.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I get that, but still. It had, and Tim, you can really attest to this. When it comes to things like that, from turning a heel to a face, like a super heel to a face, it has to make sense. And there has to be some way for WWE to do something like that.
It's not easy. It's very tricky to fix a crowd's reaction when you're not getting the response you want for that particular individual. With Baron Corbin, again, the problem is absolute apathy. He's not bad in the ring. And when you let him go and do his thing and do what he can do on his own without scripting the living shit out of him, he's actually kind of entertaining.
The problem is they are going to overscript him. They have been doing it ever since he came to Raw and since he came to the main roster in general.
Yep.
And it's boring as hell. Okay. You see him off the cuff and the guy is capable of being entertaining, but he is not someone you give a script to. Like, there's just some people who in their natural environment, oh yeah, they're very natural and they're entertaining and they're smooth talkers. You give them a script and they just cannot deliver it.
Yeah.
You know, Baron Corbin is literally just good, good improvisationist, terrible actor.
Well, you know, it's like doing, going up with a partner doing stand up comedy and going up with a partner doing improv.
Mm-hmm.
Some can do one, some can do the other. It's very rare that you get some that can do both. And Corbin's not a rarity. It's absolutely a shame. Not. But it's the WWE juggernaut. It's the WWE creative that has buggered him up. And they keep trying to fix it. And as long as he's getting a reaction going out there, I'll tell you right now, the one thing that a worker, that a promoter, that a booker, that a writer cannot stand is the phrase bad heat. We've coined it X-Pac heat. And I think that we were actually the first ones to say there's good heat, there's bad heat, and then there's X-Pac heat way, way, way long ago. And like I said, if you want to get, your interview shorted really quickly with a guy like Jerry Lawler, bring up X-Pac heat and see how quickly he wants to get his ass off the phone. As long as Baron Corbin gets some kind of noise when he comes out, they're going to keep doing what they're doing. If you want creative to change what they're doing, make no noise at all. Offer no reaction at all. Or start chanting CM Punk. I know you hated me saying that, but you also know that I'm right.
See, it's admitting that you're right is what I hate.
Well, don't hate the player.
Okay, Booker.
Hate creative.
I do.
Yeah. So. But like I said, you know, like if you pretend that it wasn't Baron Corbin, which is exceedingly hard to do. if you were brand new to the product and you watched that match, you'd be entertained. It was a good match. Tell me I'm wrong and be honest.
The match was fine. Yes. Yeah. Like Baron Corbin's got the personality of a stepladder, but you know, in ring, he's okay. Nothing stellar, but he's fine.
Yeah.
The match was fine. You know, you build this show as big as you do, and I don't think fine is good enough for starters.
No.
Because we got a lot of fine with this show.
And every time you say the word fine, I'm thinking, Larry. Larry Fine. And nobody knows who Larry Fine is nowadays.
And, okay.
He was one of the Three Stooges. The guy with the curly hair.
Well, I remember Larry from the Three Stooges.
Yeah. Mo Howard
is the only one I remember the last name for.
Yeah, Mo Howard, Larry Fine, and actually it was Curly Howard or Shemp Howard, because Mo, Curly, and Shemp were all brothers. And then they brought some guy in named Joe, who was just, yeah, whatever. He was the Baron Corbin of the Three Stooges.
see how I tied that in?
Anyway. So, you know, the match ends with Seth Rollins retaining. And, yeah, everybody's all happy. The Saudi crowd really seemed to enjoy it. The fans in the audience, may not have been able to hear him so well because, again, another open air arena. All the noise goes straight up, but you can see him cheering and having a good time and everything. But then the music hits and out comes the advocate with his client. We're talking Heyman and Lesnar making their way to the ring. Lesnar with the chair in his hand, and his you know, think back to Raw when Lesnar ambushed Seth and basically went to town on his ribs. Are we going to get the same thing? Well, no, because Paul Heyman tripped in the ring and distracted Brock long enough for Seth to recover. Now, did you guys notice at first blush that accidental trip through the ropes was deliberate?
Honestly, I missed that he did it the first time.
So, yeah.
Because part of me was like, okay, kind of looking away because like, oh God, I know what's about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I just kind of tuned back when I heard that there was a trip.
Yeah. Well, it was mostly well done. But then again, Heyman's older than I am by a couple of years. So, he's got to be somewhat ginger and careful when he does, pratfalls and stuff. It was a deliberate thing, set up the whole bit, which served to distract Brock, and Seth grabs the ladder or the chair. So I go from ladder to almost saying stairs. Jesus. He grabs the chair, goes to town on Brock. And of course that just sets everybody. Yeah. All right. Yeah. You're getting what you deserve. Blah, 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 blah. It was, you know, it was a good segment that just actually. It just helped add fuel to the fire between these two. One thing that I did notice throughout this entire pay-per-view, the wrestlers could really be heard, talking to each other and to the ref. I don't know if you guys picked up on that.
A little bit. It sounded like a lot of microphones weren't correctly wired.
Well, in a situation like that, you're gonna get the mic, picking up what they're saying, over the sounds of the crowd, again, because the crowd noise is going straight up through the, open roof.
Mm-hmm.
But, the one thing, that causes me to step outside being, you know, just a casual, regular, everyday Joe fan and, get back into my booking, persona or whatever. Listening to what they're saying and how they're saying it. And it was almost like these guys had a feeling, or they knew, or they've been told that you're going to get picked up on the microphone. So be convincing, because they sounded convincing. One thing that was really good, when they were calling the matches, when the match, you know, the guy in charge of the match was calling, as from what I could tell, I didn't hear them call any of the moves. So we have complained about that previously, Omega.
Mm-hmm. Just to stay on topic. This is one of those situations where, like, there's part of me that really enjoys the aftermath of Brock's attempted to cash in, where he just gets laid out with a steel chair over and over.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you know, somewhere down the line, he's gonna get the title again.
No, well, I don't know that. I don't necessarily know that, because that is an exceptionally predictable thing. What bugs me is Brock, for the first time in years, has actually been somewhat enjoyable as a personality, because he's actually showing a little personality. You know, it's, you know, okay, when he's coming out and pretending like it's the 90s with his boombox briefcase. Okay, at least he's being a little bit entertaining. You know, when he's freaking out on Paul because he didn't know he had a year to cash in his contract. Okay, that's amusing. Okay, I kind of like this. Let's, you know, let Brock play a little bit. You know, I might actually be interested in the guy. God, he looks stupid.
Yeah.
God, this didn't do anything for anyone in the end. You know, okay, Seth might be the only one coming out squeaky clean, but he's the Universal Champ. He really doesn't need it. Corbin blew it. So knock him down a peg. Paul Heyman looks like a goof, which is so not Paul Heyman. Heyman is usually not, you know, to borrow a reference. He's not Three Stooges-esque. He's usually much more calculated than that.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, Brock looks like a moron for not cashing in on Monday.
But the thing that I find enjoyable about all of this, you know, you're talking about Brock finally showing a bit of personality, is the fact that he doesn't have the title. He's the potential number one contender at any point in time whenever he decides to cash in that goddamn briefcase. And I think that contributes very much to your perception of him actually being entertaining. This is just my opinion now.
I mean, is very much because I am so tired of Brock holding the belt that the only way you could keep me interested in him does the belt go on somebody else? Like, just let Brock be Brock and let him be in the mix without just making him the champion by default, because that's just too easy.
Well, that's just it. You know, it's like we've had so much of him holding the title and being a part-time champion and only seeing him defend it like 8 times a year as opposed to 8 times a week. This is totally brand new territory. Literally. I mean, we haven't seen something like this since his initial debut, like very first time.
Yeah, like the last time I can remember Brock having just like a likable personality was his run against Kurt Angle.
Uh-huh.
Where they're pranking on each other. He fucking kissed Angle in the ring. Just as a goof.
He was young and stupid.
he was willing to disregard dignity for entertainment purposes. And for actually showing a character.
Right. That's the Brock Lesnar I know. Now, not my Lesnar.
Hashtag not my Lesnar.
Hashtag
not my Lesnar. I like that. We gotta see what we can do to make that trend. That'll be fun. But yeah, really, opening match was fine. There's not, you know, nothing glaring about it. The aftermath, it was good and it was bad. Nothing special about it. So we'll see what happens from here, as of tomorrow night on Raw. The next match on the card, Finn Balor taking on, Andrade. I can never say the guy's name right. Andrade.
There you go.
Good boy. Times a charm. There we go. Of course, Balor with the title, and then, oh my God, it's the Demon. Don't be too surprised, kids. This has only been, talked about for 3 weeks. I have one complaint about this match. And it isn't about the wrestlers. It's Michael freaking Cole. You can tell Michael Cole reads the notes before they go live. Unlike Jerry and to a lesser extent, JR, when they were in the chairs. And what am I talking about? At one point, Cole actually announced Finn Balor's counter move before it even happened. Oh, Balor counters, and then you watch, and then Balor counters like a second and a half after it's been announced he's gonna he's countering. Michael Cole is reading a script, in case you guys miss it when you watch. See if you can show Michael Cole on TV in the middle of a match. Watch, you'll see him reading. He's not watching the action in the ring. He's reading from his laptop. Because the laptop is telling him what's going on and what's about to happen.
Dance, monkey.
Okay. This match just furthers the myth that the Demon does not lose.
Unless you watched NXT, but, you know.
Oh, in brackets. The demon does not lose in brackets in WWE.
Yeah, we had to qualify that.
Yep. Because, yeah, he's lost the Demon has lost in NXT. So. But, yeah, you know what? I was entertained by this match. I found it to be enjoyable and, not bad at all. What do you think, guys?
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of running into the same opinion of, yeah, it was a fine match. Like, mm-hmm. I didn't really have an issue with it, but it didn't really, like, stun me or anything. You know, I've seen better matches out of both guys.
Yeah, and I've seen worse matches on a bigger pay-per-view.
And we all have. Correct.
We all have. This is an example of what I'm talking about. This was elevated from SmackDown, a standard SmackDown match, but it wasn't elevated enough, in my opinion, to be a full out pay-per-view type match. So that's my opinion on it. I don't know. You guys feel the same way?
Yeah, kinda.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah. This is a match where I would have been fine with just the two guys. I have the only reason they brought out the demon is because, hey, Saudi money.
Yep.
Cause I hate how they use the demon in WWE. It should be one of those, like, big surprise, oh crap, I'm going to die moments when the red lights start hitting, when the music isn't the one you expected.
Never, like, ever announce the demon is showing up.
Yeah, never build it up. Never make it something that he can just turn on like a light switch. Make it a reaction.
Now,
you're supposed to see Finn just like getting dressed in the locker room. You're supposed to see the heel come out and like either attack him or something, like try to lay him out, lay out a friend of his, something like that. And when he comes out all confident for his match, Demon's music hits and then he proceeds to die. And that's how it should always go.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, speaking as a fan, now let me just speak as a promoter. I want to sell tickets. I know that the demon is popular. I'm not going to be able to keep myself from saying, hey, the demon's going to be here, because I know that when the fans hear that Balor's coming out as a demon, I know that there are fans who will buy tickets that probably wouldn't normally. And that's the conundrum.
Well, I mean, in the case of this one, I don't think that would have been the case, but
it wouldn't have mattered in this case. Like for this show, yeah. I mean, like they sold out that arena. Of course, it's Saudi Arabia. They're going to sell out the arenas whenever they go into the Middle East.
No. I invite you to go back and take a look at the crowd when the lights shine real bright during Finn's entrance.
Okay.
Please tell me what the left side of the stadium looks like, because I don't think you saw what you think you saw.
Oh, was it a little emptier than
it was a little thin.
Expected?
It was a little thin.
A little thin? Okay, fair enough. Fair enough. I give you that point.
Yeah.
So. But, yeah, I don't know. Do we have anything else to say about this match?
For them to collide in a match one-on-one, pretty freaking great. Pretty freaking good. Well, this ain't their first time against each other, is it?
Don't remember.
Because if it is, holy crap.
I think it might have been their first face-off in WWE.
Yeah, okay, well, because... Because Andrade was on the Raw roster for, like, a heartbeat.
Not even long enough for a cup of coffee.
So then for them to do this their first time in WWE? Yeah. Wow.
Very good. Yeah. So hopefully we get a couple of more matches out of these two they just elevate it. So, but, up next, Roman Reigns taking on, the best in the world, Shane McMahon. It was a match. Involving Shane McMahon. Does anything need to be said about that? I mean, the only thing missing was Shane didn't fall off something really tall. But then again, it's not a WrestleMania, so.
I mean, for Saudi Arabia, yeah, it is.
But the thing about it is, this is more than just a show or a match for the Saudi crowd. There's a bit of a storyline going on here. So. The match, you know, it was entertaining for what it was. It was a Shane McMahon versus somebody on the roster match. And at the end of the day, just because there's a lot more to this than a one-off, Shane had to win it somehow, right?
Supposedly.
Yeah, well, you know, like, think like a writer.
I can't. My intelligence is too high.
I'm sorry.
Like, I'm an actual writer. I'm not... WWE writer.
Okay, thank you for pointing out that I didn't clarify. Think like a WWE writer. It's difficult. You'll be hard pressed to find somebody that dumb.
Can you qualify it as thinking?
Hey, look, guys, banana. Put something on paper.
Okay, boss, here you go.
Yeah, we'll do that. Whatever.
Yeah, Wally.
There you go. Yeah, tomorrow night, Shane and, Drew McIntyre will celebrate the win over Roman Reigns. So yeah, you know, Roman Reigns is going to show up on Raw tomorrow night because, you know, Raw needs a rating pop. And right now, Roman is bringing ratings.
Not really, but sure.
Wink, wink. Shh. Don't blow it.
it's all we got. Shut up.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. So, we'll see what goes on, what is furthered, tomorrow night on Raw. So, you know, stay tuned and watch the show then. I really don't know what to say about this one.
This was a disgrace.
Minus 5 stars.
This should have never happened. The idea of Shane McMahon, who was sweating on his way down to the ring because he just does not have any kind of physical ring shape.
It was 106 degrees there.
He blows up. Yes. Yeah, but he blows up worse than the Ultimate Warrior did.
Wow. Yeah, Shane McMahon is just a bag of sweat with a Vince McMahon mask stretched over it.
It can be 55 degrees Fahrenheit, and Shane would be dripping sweat by the time he got to the ring. Wait a minute. That's happened. I've seen it.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, Shane being booked to be able to go toe to toe with someone like Roman Reigns, even for a little while, is a joke. Like, this is not, like, if you're gonna run best in the world heel shtick, then there needs to be more chicanery involved, there needs to be more cheap tactics, you know, it needs to be more a case of, yeah, this is completely one-sided because this guy is a laughingstock and there's no way he can actually be in the ring with me, and then you have things like the ending of this match happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it should be something that's more consistently done. You know, Shane shouldn't ever be standing toe to toe with another wrestler because he's not a wrestler.
This is true. And, what you're saying is exactly how, you know, how they booked the cowardly heel in the 80s. The guy that had no business being in the ring with this guy who's like mega over. I'm just trying to think, you know, like Junkyard Dog versus Hulk Hogan maybe not Junkyard Dog, but you get the idea. In the 80s, you know, Hogan was like monster. And, you would every now and then get a match between Hogan and, somebody who absolutely had no business being at ringside, never mind between the ropes with Hogan. And he would always bring, a buddy, an accomplice, and nothing would happen except for referee distractions and the accomplice always taking the myriad cheap shots on Hulk Hogan. And then all of a sudden, boom. But of course, Hogan being the champion and it being the 80s, Hogan would never lose. He'd somehow wind up winning. So, but yeah, like I say, it was a Shane McMahon versus somebody match, essentially.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
So tomorrow night, I'd like to see. Now I'm talking storyline. I don't mean for real, so don't freak out on me. But I want to see Roman hospitalize Shane, leading to a program between Roman and Drew.
Well, here's the question.
No. He can't hospitalize him. He can only send him to a local medical facility. Which is a fucking Walgreens for all we know.
Stop it.
Local medical facility. Hey, he's at the pharmacy. What's he doing?
We took him to a
fine Tylenol.
We took him to a vet.
Took him to urgent care.
So there you go. But yeah, I don't know. And then here's where the whole show 100% fell off the rails. Lars taking on the Lucha House Party.
Yes.
Now we've seen 3-on-1, we've seen 4-on-1, we've seen 5-on-1, we've seen Andre the Giant take on 5 people at once and
win.
We've
seen 7-on-2, like this.
Yeah.
This shit's ridiculous.
Okay, you want to get Lars over. Was this the way to do it? No. And the reason why, all of a sudden, the Lucha House Party winds up pulling the heel move. Yeah, out of desperation, fine. But it's still a heel move, right? And it just felt 100% out of place. Even though Lars comes back and beats the living crap out of them. This is after the DQ and after they're walking away from the ring and he gets up and destroys them one at a time. It's just what the Lucha House Party wound up doing. You know, the bully tactics, the 3-on-1, it just, you're supposed to feel sympathy for these three little guys. Them doing that just removed that from me completely, that feeling completely.
Apparently that was a last minute switch. Like apparently Lars was just going to go over in some, you know, brutal beatdown way, but they didn't want to bury the house party. So yeah, they went dirty for no explainable reason.
Yeah. And, I would have much rather have them all, just massively monstrously beat down by Lars instead, because
yeah, this is,
you know, like if they had done it the way they should have done it, then of course it plays on my heartstrings and I'm feeling bad and Lars is a prick and he's a bully and he's an asshole. And these poor guys, you know, I want them to get even with him. And of course you think that, and then they do actually do something like this and you're like, well, fuck that. And this is what happened to me in this match. Screw it. The hell with you guys.
Yeah. It wasn't going to be pretty no matter what.
No.
You know, it's a 3-on-1 beatdown. You know, it's not going to do anything for Lars if he wins. You know, it's 3-on-1, so it's not going to do anything for the house party if they win. Like, this was a lose-lose scenario.
Yeah.
You know, it's, and then that's what the finish ends up being. It's just, you found a way to make it worse. Like, congratulations. That was not pretty, and that did not go well for anybody.
Yeah, way to be. Good job. So there's that. I don't know. Mike, you got anything before we put this match to bed?
I mean, everything has been said. Like literally everything has been said. We can move on because like I'm saving all of the rage for the main event.
Well, this is going to be fun. So okay, so we've got a legend versus a future legend match up next. Randy Orton taking on Triple H.
First of all, Triple H's motorcycle. Okay.
Don't call it that. It's a trike.
It's...
You're laughing at me calling it a trike. It's a trike. It's a tricycle.
It's a big wheel.
No. It's a green machine. Remember those?
Let's not have the green machine argument again.
The only difference between Triple H's tricycle and the green machine is that you don't steer by moving the rear wheels on Triple H's trike.
I also don't think Triple H's dad assembled that.
Yeah.
So if anybody expected anything spectacular from these two guys, go get your heads checked collectively. Seriously.
Yeah. Yeah. And you haven't watched WWE in quite a while. So most of the audience.
It was 100% exactly what I expected. A legend putting over a future legend. A Hall of Famer putting over a future Hall of Famer.
Rest hold, rest hold, rest hold, rest hold.
Pretty much. More or less. But, yeah, you know, it had a little bit of action. It was entertaining. You know, Triple H is in the ring and Randy Orton's in the ring. And some people still like Randy Orton.
I don't know these people.
And if I did, I wouldn't admit to it. But... Sorry, Randy.
Randy's kind of in the same boat as Baron Corbin, just in opposite ends of the career.
Yeah.
It's like Corbin's not doing anything interesting. Orton's not doing anything interesting.
But yeah. the irony here is my ringtone for my phone is Randy Orton's theme music. I hear voices in my head.
I was telling Rock and the Fortnite crew last night.
Uh-huh.
I was at an event on Saturday. Because they were demoing some new model paint that's really fancy.
Okay.
So they're just letting you come try it out. And while I'm sitting there painting, I'm painting this little Dungeons and Dragons figurine with this stuff. And all of a sudden, from my left, I hear something scream, "Fact!" And it's the guy's text alert on his phone next to me. And it's actually the Tyson Kidd clip.
Oh my goodness.
That's awesome. That's my ringtone.
Yikes.
Well, we shouldn't talk about ringtones because, you know.
that's me and my sense of humor.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
No. My phone rings and I hear voices in my head. Think about it, Mike. It's a phone.
Well, you won't hear voices in your head until you answer it.
Exactly. Yeah.
And then my other ringtone that I have that I switch back and forth is a clip of a song from The Who. Who are you? I really want to know.
Wow, what great content. By the way, thank you.
It just makes me chuckle.
Hold on. I have to do my job. Thank you, Justin Bohannon, for the follow and the 10 bits. Thank you for following us on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTRLive. Thank you.
Woo.
Hooray.
Woo.
Now back to the show.
Is anybody in the chat room talking? Because I don't see anything.
They're having a whole entire conversation. Good to see you're paying attention.
So I've got to log in to see chat now? What?
Yeah, they're talking. See? Yeah. Hi, Justin Bohannon. Welcome.
Hello, Justin Bohannon. Welcome.
Hello.
See, they don't acknowledge. I will. Hi. Back to the show.
Where were we?
We were Orton talking about, we talked about Orton and Triple H.
Oh, yeah.
You mean hashtag Triple H movement?
Fuck off.
We really don't need you helping her now.
Okay, I'm just gonna say, Rock, it's not 2012 anymore. Move the F on.
Wait, CM Punk.
No.
CM Punk. CM.
No.
It's not 2014 either.
No, even the Saudis knew to chant CM Punk when they were getting bored.
Yeah, I noticed.
That's scary.
I did notice that CM Punk chant there.
Okay, so that's who you're in touch with. Okay.
There you go.
Don't know who Finn Balor is, but CM Punk got that one.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I don't know if we said it, but, Randy won, by the way.
He put someone over.
There you go. And then the next match on the card, on Friday, I was about to say tonight, but it happened Friday, was, Braun Strowman taking on Bobby Lashley. I guess this was the rematch from the arm wrestling. And ignore what WTR Live said in the chat room. We are not here to support Triple H movement.
Old jokes are old.
There you go. What did they flash, when they flashed the temperature on the screen that it was like 90 degrees, outside in Saudi, but the real feel was 100 degrees.
Something like that.
Yeah, both of these men must have lost 50 pounds of water weight.
Most definitely. Cause that, yeah. And it's still nighttime, and that was what was
they
still 100 something.
Yeah, they should have had a sandbox full of chalk for both of these guys to roll in before the match started.
Yeah, like, I don't, I will shit on these matches. But I will credit everyone who went out and wrestled in that heat.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And for the ones that had pyros, too.
Hotter. Yeah. We can afford pyro in Saudi Arabia. Can't spring for it at Raw anymore.
No. Mm-mm. Well, didn't they cancel pyro at indoor Raw shows just because of some people have complained about the after smoke?
Well, there's always been complaints like that, especially like you'd think they used to work much smaller arenas where that got into everybody's face all the time. I know started to become a bit of a hazard, you know, that every now and then they'd set the Undertaker on fire by accident.
That only happened a few times.
It only happened just a handful of times. I know there was the NXT show where TNA where they nearly burned down the building.
I don't need seatbelts in my car. I mean, there are millions of people driving every year, and only a few dozen get killed for not wearing them. Come on.
So, the match.
I only saw part of this match, and it was, to me, your standard big man versus big man match from what I saw. So you guys are going to have to talk about this.
It was a big...
I had a potty break. I'm sorry.
Just no one gave a toss about this match?
No.
Ew. That's a 2-minute Canadian TV commercial called Body Break, where a Hal and Joanne would come on TV and tell you that eating kale while you're running down the freeway was a great way of maintaining your health. Body break.
No, the match itself, like, it's a big man match, except, you know, less chemistry than most big men have.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Braun's a good worker. We've seen it. Lashley's a good worker. We've seen it. These two never need to have a match again.
No chemistry.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm completely done with this feud. You want to just keep having arm wrestling matches? Right. It's fine with me.
But what are you going to do, right? You got these two great big guys that need to have a match. Because, you know, they're big men, and so book them. Okay, Vince. So, good match, obviously, from all of the talking about it you guys are doing.
Yeah, it was absolutely thrilling.
Yeah.
There he goes. Who won?
Yeah. Who won?
I can't even remember offhand.
Who won? Oh, yeah, Braun Strowman.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think Braun? Maybe Braun?
Who lost?
Everyone.
Everyone else.
Definitely.
Leo Rush.
Stop.
Ooh. We can't pick on Leo because he's a friend of Mike's. I hate Leo Rush, Mike.
Wow.
Now he's not talking to me ever again.
That's fine. I'll get you back for that.
Look, he's not a pitchman. That's what I hate about him, okay? He should never be anybody's pitchman.
He shouldn't. I don't know why WWE did that. But yeah, good match.
Know. Yeah. Okay. Well, there. If you liked it, you liked it. If you didn't like it, well, there's no surprise.
Of course, I like the ending.
Okay. You like the fact that Braun won.
Yeah, we can say that.
That's the ending,
yeah,
right?
Yeah. Let's just go with that.
There you go. What was the next match after that one, kids? We are now in territory where Tim didn't see this shit.
All right. Are we talking about the 50 man?
Is that the match that was after Braun?
No. The next match was the WWE Championship, Kofi Kingston defending against Dolph Ziggler.
There you go. Okay.
Mr. Super Sell himself.
Once again, WrestleMania equivalent show.
Yeah. However,
I just want to keep pointing that out.
Who said this was WrestleMania equivalent? They lied to you.
Oh, well, yeah, then WWE lied, because that's how, it's exactly how they promoted it.
There's a shock. WWE lied to you.
No. So these two had a match. This certainly was a match.
It was really back and forth, you know. Ziggler playing the really good heel. Really good heel. And
that's this week.
Yeah, that's this week. Well, I don't. Here's, like you said, this is WrestleMania caliber. The only problem with it was that, yes, they did build it like it was WrestleMania because they did, you know, from beginning vignettes to now. And I'm just like, oh man, you give this to us prematurely.
Well, it's not WrestleMania caliber because Dolph Ziggler hasn't done anything all year.
Touche. Match wise, well, yeah.
I mean, we know these two can go in the ring. They've had plenty of IC championship matches, but, you know, Dolph taking so much time off, he's just got no heat behind him anymore. He came off whining about how it should have been him in the Elimination Chamber match, you know, going after the WWE championship, even though he was a Raw star at the time.
Yep. Because technically it was Mustafa that was supposed to get that.
Well, no, it's not even that. He wasn't on SmackDown. He couldn't have been in the match.
Yeah, no, definitely. He took out Mr. Xavier Woods. Xavier Woods down for a while. He beaten out Kofi Kingston. Kofi Kingston said, you know what, let's do this fight in spirit. I'm not giving up. Boom, boom, boom. He goes ahead, starts fighting.
At one point he jumps back first onto the concrete.
Yeah. Because
Dolph didn't catch him for shit.
Yeah. He was like, hey, screw you.
We want to take Tim out of this match completely. We can talk the finish.
Oh? I mean, you want to talk about the finish now?
Well, if you want to keep recapping the match, but, you know, it's a Ziggler match. It's not.
Right. I mean, it's a Ziggler. It should have been me. You stayed there. I should be WWE champion. Slap, slap, slap. Kingston getting angry. Punch. Angry. Punch. Angry. Fighting spirit. Boom. Clothesline. Boom. Clothesline. Double palms to the chest. Him going down. Boom drop. All that jazz. Then, the referee's not looking. Xavier Woods out of nowhere. Pow! Kick to the face. Trouble in paradise. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah. Kofi pushes Ziggler back to the ropes. Refs watching Kofi. Xavier pops up. Kick to the face. Dolph turns right into Trouble in Paradise. Once again, I don't care if it's payback. I don't care if it's, he did it first. The faces shouldn't resort to cheating.
Mm-mm.
Period.
Yeah.
That goes back to the Lucha House Party.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, the line gets blurred all the time these days. You know, Seth Lowe blows Lesnar at Mania and all that.
Mm-hmm. Like,
they really don't care what heel and face tactics are these days.
Not anymore.
It's just one of their big problems.
In WWE, yeah.
It's like you need clearly defined behavior roles.
There's no more color.
The whole idea between the hero versus the villain, the hero will not cross that line.
But there's too many anti-heroes.
Yeah, like everyone wants to be an edgy anti-hero. It's like, I can cheat if I need to.
Here's the rub. Here's the problem with that. The classic, the perfect, the absolute, ultimate, quintessential anti-hero in professional wrestling was Stone Cold Steve Austin. Did he ever cheat? Did he ever break the rules? He never cheated. He broke the rules. There's a difference between breaking the rules and crossing the line. Stone Cold Steve Austin, as the anti-hero, never crossed that line.
Well, here's the thing. Everyone thinks they're being Austin-esque when they are doing stuff like that, when they're getting help from the outside or where they're just breaking rules behind the ref's back for an advantage. No, what they're doing is they're trying to be Eddie Guerrero, except they're really shit at it. Because Eddie broke the rules in clever Eddie cheated.
Smashing the chair on the mat and throwing it at his opponent and then lying down to get the win from a DQ. Brilliant.
Amazing. Yeah. Like,
nobody can pull that off except for Eddie.
Mm-hmm.
People have tried since Eddie and it hasn't worked.
Yeah. You'd never do it. Like Eddie was brilliant, but everyone tries that these days where, I'm going to cheat even if I'm the good guy because I'm supposed to be the good guy. So it's okay for me to do whatever it takes. No.
Mm-mm.
You're supposed to be better than that.
Yeah. The thing about it, Eddie did it as a heel and a babyface.
Well, Eddie did it so well as a heel, he became a babyface.
Yeah. Pretty much. And
see, what was Eddie's catchphrase?
What was Eddie's catchphrase?
Lie, cheat, and steal.
If you're not cheating, you're not trying.
You're not trying.
But it was his mantra.
Mm-hmm. But the guys doing it these days, the guys cheating to win these days when they're good guys didn't earn it. You know, Eddie earned it because he was so clever and because he was so likable when he did it. You know, it's the gimmick that went from heel to face just because the crowd reaction was so good for it.
You couldn't
deny him face status because you could get people to stop cheering.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Eddie was Eddie. He was a heel. Yeah. He was a baby face. He was a tweeter. Doesn't matter.
He could play
it
all.
He always did the same shit. When you see these people changing from heel to baby face to heel to tweener, they're always changing the personality and what they do. All of a sudden, the bad guy doesn't cheat anymore. He's a baby because he's a baby face. Stone Cold, when he was a heel, when he was a baby face, he was always that tweener. He was, he leaned to the left or to the right, but he was always a tweener. Stone Cold was Stone Cold. Eddie was Eddie. Everybody else didn't learn the lessons.
I don't know. I just want my good guys to be good guys again.
I want my Captain Marvel to be Captain Marvel.
Which Captain Marvel?
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to confuse DC with Marvel. Let's just clarify that. I'm not talking Shazam.
Okay.
There you go.
Okay. Which Captain Marvel?
Stop it.
I know.
Carol Danvers, for crying out loud.
Okay.
I want Carol Danvers to be Carol Danvers.
Alright. But yes, it was, and then, you know, after the match, who else gets angry? Of course, you know, he has a reason to. Dolph Ziggler going backstage. Already going there backstage. He got there quick. He was like, yo, I want you in a steel cage match. And that's a thing. Yeah. So there's going to be a rematch. It's going to be Dolph Ziggler versus Kofi Kingston in a steel cage match at WWE Stomping Grounds.
Yep. Ain't ew. Not a shock. Name's terrible, but I guess they
the name's
to get to
horrible.
Meanwhile, Tuesday night on SmackDown, it'll be Dolph Ziggler taking on Xavier Woods.
Yeah. Oh. Thanks for the surprise, WWE.
With Kofi interfering.
When
the ref's back is turned. You heard it here first.
Right.
Yeah, at this point, no shock there.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, for those of you paying attention to the Stanley Cup Final in the National Hockey League, and I know there's a couple of them, just so you know, Boston won tonight by a final score of 5-1, meaning Game 7 takes place on Wednesday night in Boston. Series tied at 3.
Cool.
We'll see how that goes.
Oh, well.
Yeah, all's well that ends well.
So what happened after that match?
Now it is time for our 51 man Royal Rumble. Or
again,
Battle Royale, because we all started at the same time.
Another match that I, unfortunately was unable to watch. So everything you tell me about this is a spoiler, because I will be, watching the missed matches when we're done here.
I mean, it's a Battle Royale, which nothing terribly interesting happens, just because there's so many people in the ring at one time, you can't really pay attention. Like
everybody knows. Everybody knows that my favorite match is the over the top Battle Royal. My favorite pay per view is the Royal Rumble. I just wanted to interject this really quickly. It just sounds to me like 50 people is too much.
Oh, it is. It absolutely is.
Yeah. I remember, one Canadian All Pro Wrestling show we put on, we had a, over the top Battle Royal. And one of our entrants was former WWE superstar Byron Wilcott. And, at one point in time, he got thrown over the top, and we did the show in a bar. He got thrown over the top rope, but his feet did not touch the ground. He went and did the Kofi walking on all of the furniture and the bar and everything else to get back into the ring. Has absolutely nothing to do with much of anything, but it was fun. I just thought I'd talk about it because I can't talk about this one. So I'm going to shut up now. Go ahead.
Speaking of wrestlers stealing shtick.
There you go.
No, this was, I don't know, this felt like filler. Like as much as they were trying to build it up because,
It was, but there were a good couple of spots, you know, Heavy Machinery, AOP, and.
Yeah, AOP came back out of nowhere.
Yeah. And then the third team, the Viking Experience, they all had a stare down. It was pretty good. I liked it. And then they all got eliminated.
Yeah. Yeah. The Viking Raiders got eliminated by Titus O'Neil, which for a team that's being booked as like a super dominant tag team, not the best look.
So I just loved how, Xavier Woods was just beat down. And then when you see him coming down the ramp, it's like, no sell. Sorry. That's just one of my observations. But anyway, but yeah, so everything started going down. It was good. Ricochet and Mustafa got some in. There was a lot of potential. Mysterio was not on there. I don't care. You saw Matt Hardy. Huh? Yeah.
Mysterio's hurt.
Yeah. But he's U.S. champion.
He's not U.S. champion.
Okay.
He was supposed to win it, but he got hurt.
Okay. No, he did win it. And then he got hurt. But he relinquished it on Raw.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So Samoa Joe's the U.S. champion, and he was in the match.
Okay. So Aleister Black's one. So it... there was one spot. I'm trying to remember. It was with, oh yes, Matt Hardy. First of all, Matt Hardy has recycled. If you guys have not been paying attention, Matt Hardy has been recycling all, has been redoing all his old gimmicks on his, with his shirt. On SmackDown, he did Matt Hardy version one. Now it was classic 2000 Hardy Boys with the tight blue shirt. It was really good, you know, just to see Matt Hardy. If you're a real Matt Hardy fan, you enjoy that you can, you know, look at the time capsule of him doing all of that. As the match went on, match went cycled down. It was really good till the last two. One of them was, Mansoor?
Yeah, it was Mansoor.
Uh-huh. Who were the final, I forgot who was the final four.
Elias was, okay,
Mansoor,
Elias and Mansoor were the final two.
Mm-hmm. Miz?
I think the Miz went out before the final four. I can't remember who the last two were.
Mustafa?
It doesn't matter.
The final two were Elias and Mansoor. Now.
Yeah.
I have not heard of a pop like that in a while in WWE. And the last time I heard a pop was from Murphy. I was in his hometown. I was in his home country. And I guess, and yes, this was what happened in the home country of Mansoor. And throughout, Elias, boom, the winner of the 50-man battle royal, Mansoor.
I mean, at the very least, it didn't come with some useless trophy or gaudy belt.
Right.
You know, so
Didn't the last battle royal have a belt?
Yeah. Ron got a big green fake belt that never got seen again. But at the very least, okay, let's pop for the hometown guy. Okay.
I mean,
fine.
That was a good change. That was a nice change. That was, if anybody put money on it, it'd be like, yeah, so nobody got this.
The thing about it is it unfortunately told you just how loud that crowd was capable of being, even though the crowd itself, like, because we were going on, like, yeah, it's a very quiet crowd because it's an open-air stadium. You know, okay, that's fine. You still have a problem with, this is how loud they can be. And I can hear how loud they are now.
And they got loud.
But that means they could have been that loud for the rest of the show, and we're not. Not even close. Just to point that out. I mean, but yeah, like, honestly, as a battle royale, I was bored to tears by this. It's just way too big. It just took way too long to get it down to the point where you could pay attention to what's going on.
Oh, no. If they took it long, everybody would have got their own entrance.
I don't know. I mean, if the guy gets a push in WWE after this, okay, fine, but it doesn't seem like, I doubt they're gonna do anything with him beyond that. But, yeah, anything else to say?
Nope. Congratulations, Mansoor. Let's see if you'll actually get noticed.
Who knows at this point? Better, people who are holding championships aren't getting noticed right now. Like, we're finally getting another tag team championship match on Raw, and it's just the Revival again.
They don't want the Revival to leave, and I love it.
But that just leaves the main event.
First 2 minutes were good. Thank you very much.
Yeah, Tim, can you chime in again?
Because I did see pretty much more or less most of the main event.
Okay, good.
Yeah. You guys really don't like it when I have nothing to say, do you?
That's a three-man show. Supposed to be a three-man show.
Yeah, about that.
Maybe Goldberg shouldn't bang his head against the locker door before he comes out.
Mm-hmm.
Anymore.
Mm-hmm.
God. He was told not to.
He did anyway.
Yeah.
All I can say, ultimately, the best thing about this match was Undertaker's entrance.
That was the only thing.
Yeah.
I enjoyed the look of defiance on Goldberg's face when they initially stared each other down. In that situation, he's got to lose to the Undertaker. The fact that he did what he did. I mean, like literally the first 2 minutes of the match were very, very entertaining. And then Goldberg went and knocked himself out and gave himself a concussion, going through the corner ropes and hitting his head on the ring post to the point, oh my God, I've never seen him bleed so bad in his entire career.
Well, that's the thing. Maybe he concussed himself when he threw himself headfirst into the post.
No.
Very likely. Uh-huh. Maybe he concussed himself bashing his head into the door before the match. Maybe he got concussed when Undertaker dropped him on his skull.
Maybe. There's so many possibilities.
Could have gotten concussed in all three. It certainly would explain the finish.
That 7-minute long match.
It was 9.5.
We're not in clowning the entrance.
No, that's bell to bell.
Oh, God. The fact that, and see, Goldberg, Goldberg's first mistake
was accepting the contract.
One. Okay. Goldberg's second mistake
was getting into the ring.
Goldberg's third mistake was literally thinking that he can jackhammer the Undertaker.
Well, I mean, for his age, like, Goldberg is still really well built. You can tell he trained for this.
I get that. But the Undertaker has never taken a jackhammer before.
I mean, I'm sure he shouldn't have taken a vertical suplex or something.
Vertical, yes. Jackhammer, no.
Well, I got news. He didn't take a jackhammer on Friday either.
He took a brainbuster. He took a brainbuster. And you could see it, and I know all of the ones that were watching it, I know you all cringed. When you saw how he landed, you were like, ooh. Already know, because that was...
God.
And then at the end, you could see it in the Undertaker's face.
Undertaker was disgusted.
The fact that he had to end it in a choke slam, like...
Well, there's a lot to unpack in that expression afterwards.
A whole lot.
It's not just the fact that he was in the match with someone thoroughly unqualified for the match. He was going through a match with someone who was obviously concussed. But also that he's reached a point in his age and his career where he couldn't compensate at all.
He concussed himself. Totally hilarious. He knocked his own self out. He had no one to blame but him.
Run into that ring post, knocked his ass out. All I'm saying is
Taker is one of those workers where you would expect him to be able to carry someone through to a half decent match, no matter what.
Yeah.
But he's not at an age anymore where he could do that.
Oh yeah. Apparently a lot of people think differently. But yeah. So I'm sorry, that match was 3 out of 10.
It was, God, that's generous.
Holy Christ, yeah. No,
that was a mess.
The reason why?
One and a half.
Because of the entrance.
One and a half.
Well, okay, so you don't want to include the entrances in the runtime, but you will include it in the grading?
Uh-huh.
No. Grading begins and ends with bell.
So bell to bell.
That was a shit match.
-2.
God, that was sad. Like, that's a match where you watch your childhood die. Because these used to be my heroes. And, like, Taker, like, the clip I've seen the most popping up on Twitter is that clip of Taker when he was still in the Dead Man, or the American Badass gimmick, where he would actually do interviews, talking about he didn't want to be one of those that, you know, a father was in the crowd with his son going, like, I used to watch him when he was good.
Well.
Yeah.
That's you now, buddy boy.
Yeah. You're going to have to say that to your own kids.
That just reminds me of something that happened about a year and a half ago. Watching TV at Owen's grandmother's place with Owen and his grandmother. And I can't remember the program we were watching, but it was something that had to do with you know, singers coming on and singing the song and buggering off again. Mm-hmm. And it was announced before the commercial break, Stevie Nicks up next to perform live. And Graham and I are like, all right, Stevie Nicks. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. Of course, we're thinking, you know, Fleetwood Mac, back in the day. And Owen is like, well, who's that? And he says, well, you're in for a treat, Owen. This girl is, this woman, you know, like big news, blah, 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 blah. She comes on live and her voice is so gone. She can't hit the high notes and she sounded absolutely horrible. He looked at us like we were on collectively drugs for praising her so much.
I mean,
yeah.
I mean, think I look about at it. You too and be like, so you guys want to tell me something?
It's like, okay, so the standards were really low in the 70s, huh, Dad?
Oh, God.
I said, no, son. Everybody was doing cocaine and Quaaludes.
Well, okay.
You said, what's a Quaalude?
Yeah, time to go. What's a Quaalude, Dad? Nothing.
Grandma, you tell him. Nope, not
serious. Play the whole blame game. Like, hey, yeah, it's your turn. But yeah, so overall grade for Botchmania.
For the view per pay.
Free per view. I didn't pay for this shit.
I don't know what that means.
All right, so
Kyle, what letter grade is train wreck?
TW, of course.
There you go.
Or it's an acronym, SHIT.
SHAT, that was some shit.
Okay, now look, again, this WWE special event had some good moments. There were some, several of the matches were entertaining. Nothing special with any of them.
You want?
Was it worth $9.95? Only if I get beat down for free or whatever the fuck it's called.
Stomping grounds.
That's it. Stomping your face.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it's called. Only if I get stomping grounds for free as well.
Vengeance, but they're not calling it vengeance.
And then while we're at it, you got to throw in a subscription to Netflix for 6 months.
Which is way more than $9.99.
Yeah.
But no. If you watch free, it was worth every penny.
The only thing entertaining was R-Truth retaining the 24/7 championship. That's saying something.
I get a kick out of that 24/7 title too.
I feel like they're running. I feel like it's going to run thin quick as fast as they're going through.
Oh, at the end of the month, of course. Finishes.
It's entertaining, but yeah, it's going to get old. That's what happened with the hardcore title. This 24/7 title is the hardcore title.
It's hardcore.
Except the main difference is it's not the, the busted, winged eagle belt that, Brett destroyed after he got screwed. People don't realize that was the hardcore title.
Well, the rumor, well, there's another championship that was smashed on TV and rumor was that that was the one because apparently all the breaks match.
Who are you, getting this information tonight from about it being Brett's belt?
Okay. So it's Brett's belt.
All right, then.
People listening, well, why would he say that? Because of who I am and who I know.
This is one. There's very few circumstances where I take Tim's credentials at face value. That's one of them.
Yep, absolutely. With the music in the background, I think that our producer's trying to tell us that we're done, son.
Wrap it up, B.
Time to do the after show plugs. Don't forget tomorrow night immediately following Raw's Raw Post Show with Rock.
Yeah, 11 p.m. Eastern. We'll cover everything that happens on Monday night Raw.
Yeah, Raw. That's your cue. Rock.
Raw. Rick, yeah, Raw. 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 Yeah.
Oh God.
Great job, Tim.
Raw. Rick. Rock. Rick. Raw. Rock. That's your new name. Raw. Rick. Rock.
Rick Raw, woo.
Woohoo. Anyway, yeah. Of course, Fortnite with friends.
Every Thursday and Saturday at twitch.tv/WTRLive, right like 10 p.m. Eastern, and then After the Rock on Thursdays.
Hey, don't mention the Rock until I say Thursday night, 10 o'clock Eastern. It's the return of the multi-time, multi-award winning The Rock Radio Show with your host, the multi-time, multi-award winning, chick who just got her kitchen done. Yeah, that's right. Lindsay Ward.
We will review Super Showdown. We will talk all the news, NXT and SmackDown. It's The Rack, Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. Follow Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Rack Radio Show.
Yeah, Saturday night, midnight, as sure as close as they can come to it, another edition of the wild, the wacky, the unusual. They're all a bunch of undead motherfuckers. CB Radio.
Okay. Whatever. Whatever. We're doing the Great and the Great Debate this week on Flags. We did Greatest Reality TV Show this past week. Check it all out at cbradiolive.com, at cbradiolive on Facebook and Twitter.
Next Sunday night, 8 o'clock Eastern, 10 o'clock Eastern, 12 o'clock Eastern. Okay, are you confused? 10 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Mountain. If we got shit to talk about, we'll talk about it right here on Wrestle Talk Radio, WTR, Sunday night.
Stomping Grounds preview next Sunday, 10 p.m. Eastern on Wrestle Talk Radio.
Quit interrupting me right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. We got some stuff to talk about, so we will be here at 8 o'clock Mountain, 10 o'clock Eastern. It's the preview and pick 'em for Stomping Grounds. You know what? Screw that. Enough of this. Just follow the website on Twitter at WT at Wild Talk Radio. Follow Wrestle Talk Radio at WTR Sunday Night. You know what? If you don't have Twitter, hit Facebook. You got one or the other. Some of you have both. So, like, do it. You know what I'm saying? Facebook.com/group/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network. Facebook.com/WTR Sunday Night. You know what? Screw it. Follow me on Twitter at FlamesForms. Oh, screw that. You know what? I get uncensored. I get political. I lay it out on the line. I let you know what I'm thinking. You're going to get my views on everything from politics to abortion. I'm not kidding. Some of you won't like me. If you want to really, really hate me, follow me at my other uncensored Twitter account at Voicing Sanity, not at Voice Insanity. Voicing Sanity. Mm-hmm. Of course, Omega's everywhere as TJ Omega, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to be all over the place. So if you want to see what I am up to, you can check me out quite a few places under one name, and then one place under a different name. That's Facebook for TJ Reviews. Everywhere else, you can find me under the name TJ Omega. That is the Twitter handle. That is the YouTube channel with a ton of content on it. And for a little bit of extra content, you can go check out tjomega.net.
Mike.
And for the... wait, what?
What? Mike.
And for those of you, yes, the WTR Oreo, my Twitter handler. You guys can add me there.
Handler? Handler?
Wait a second. You've got a Twitter handler? That's impressive.
That's my Twitter page, okay?
Is that like the same type of thing that the CIA does for agents? They give them handlers?
I mean...
You're no agent.
You're right. I am no agent. But anyway, but yes, I am on there, the WTR Oreo. That is my Twitter. I'm posting pictures of me and my new stable. Yeah, and then you can hit me up on the YouTube page, Powerhouse Championship Wrestling, and then on the Facebook page, Dragon Honor Wrestling, and yeah.
Awesome. Make sure you follow us on Twitch, twitch.tv/WTRLive. Follow, if you would like to subscribe, you can do that as well. You can support the channel that way. You can support the channel by using creator code RocketSock in the Fortnite item shop. And thank you again to Justin Bohannon for following us on the Twitch tonight.
I think we're done, son. Everybody, have yourselves a great week. We'll catch you next Sunday night right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Stand there and bleed.
The legend's right. We burn it out a mile wide. When ashes fall, the legend's right.
WildTalkRadio.com.